Welcome to Yours, Mine, and Ours. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a relationship coach and an MBTI practitioner. As a coach, I've worked with individuals and couples, and in my show, I talk about important life questions with my listeners. Questions like, what are relationships made of? And what makes a relationship successful? Relationships are a dynamic between two separate individuals, and that consists of a physical, mental and emotional connection between them. But there are actually three different elements to a relationship connection: the two people separately, and the third element is the entity of what they create together, that's separate and distinct from each individual person. So my show is about helping you personally become a better individual, separate from any other person, as well as learning how to facilitate the improvement of others, separate from you. That way, whenever you come together with any other person, you're both better, and you have a positive impact on each other, as well as when you're a combined entity, a couple. I spend the first part of my show explaining different concepts and elements that relationships are about, and the second part of the show, I'll be interviewing a guest, and the last part will be me opening up the lines for our listeners to ask questions or share their thoughts and comments and their opinions of what the show has been about. Welcome to Yours, Mine, and Ours. So today we're going to be asking a question. Is more always better? It's time to think about just the general concept of abundance. Now, I like to start out with just the idea. Think about this. The supersized world we live in. How many of my listeners are old enough to remember a time when supersized didn't even exist? Do you remember what the sizes for beverages were in a restaurant 40 years ago? How many ounces was a small drink? How about a medium? What about a large? I remember when a small was 8 ounces and a medium was 12 ounces and a large beverage was 16 ounces. Only the grown-ups got that one. And unlimited refills were not free. In fact, I don't even think they existed most of the time. Can anyone guess how old I am just based on the numbers I've told you today? Well, let's just say I grew up in the 80s and leave it at that. Okay. Now when I go out for fast food, I almost always don't finish all of my meal at restaurants, either because I've had to buy a ginormous size portion meal in order to get a discounted price, or the quality of the food just isn't very good at the places that I can personally afford to eat, so my stomach can't handle more than a moderate amount. How often is buying a smaller size more expensive? Have you ever looked at a meal, a menu, and gone, wow, I'm actually paying more money when I buy the smaller sized portion? Now, does that unsettle anyone as much as it does me? It actually kind of makes my husband crazy when I throw food away before I walk out the door, because at one time, remember this, there was a common philosophy of finish what's on your plate. That was based on the personal value system of don't be wasteful or greedy. Don't take what you can't eat. And if you like it, finish it. That's your punishment. You know what? Don't take that much if you can't eat that much, so you won't do it again, right? Moderation was prioritized and appreciation was respected. We actually have an epidemic now of obesity in this country because so many of the baby boomers had a finish your plate upbringing, but they weren't ready for the restaurant and grocery industry to increase the sizes of the portions for the sheer purpose of profit. The modus operandi of capitalism undermined the principles of moderation and balance. More is always better became the mantra and the mindset of the general population of the United States. So one of my personal biggest challenges is going to a buffet. Now, how many people are like me when they go to a particular buffet because the food is really good, but then they're able and willing to stop when they're genuinely full? Ask yourself honestly, are you truly at peace walking away from the opportunity to continue to eat greater portions of a large variety of food after you've paid a really high price? Do you feel an inherent need to get your money's worth? Or feel like if you stop eating, somehow you'll be missing out? But then keep something else in mind. Not being able to afford the good quality foods and products didn't ever used to be an issue like it is now. There actually wasn't a separate department in the produce section of the grocery store for organic food because all food used to be organic. Why isn't it anymore? Because it's simply cheaper to make a lower quality. When it's cheaper, then you can buy more. And capitalism continues to perpetuate a philosophy that money is the most important thing in the world, even if it means your health and happiness are going to go down. But when you consume more and more of a lower quality, the quality of your health goes down. And the downside to that, the quality of your life also goes down. We incorrectly assume that if we consume more of something, anything, it's going to be a good thing. But it's not. That's a very incorrect idea. Even when something is good, more isn't always better. And abundance in a physical way is not the key to happiness, the way many people claim, many people in the media claim and proclaim. There's a very interesting illustration that was given. Jesus gave it. It's actually pretty common. And I like this example because it's about a principle about life and happiness. It's not about theological doctrine like the Trinity or hellfire. This is just about a spiritual principle that applies to everything that is living. Even people who don't go to church appreciate the virtue of this principle, and there's a lot of different religions and theologies that agree with it. Now, just take a minute to contemplate the examples that I'm going to give and see if you agree with them. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about flowers and birds. There are two different parables, and starting in verse 25, he summarizes the principles with these words: Don't be anxious about your soul, what it will eat or drink, or your body, what it will wear. Those are basic necessities that will always be taken care of if you are a good soul. Worrying and being stressed out about these things is not going to make your life longer. If you sincerely work hard and have a good soul, your basic needs will always be taken care of. Trust that you'll always have enough of what you actually need in life, and it will truly be of the best quality. Your heart condition is the key to always having just what you need in a very high quality state. Excessive amounts of your daily needs, like food and clothing and shelter, is not necessary in life because enough is enough. And trusting that you'll have enough of what you need is the key to true happiness in life because that's the key to inner peace and spirituality. Now, this is teaching the principle that in life, it's all about the quality of your heart. And the better you are as a soul, the more beautiful you will be. Your laughter and affection is your abundance. That is your prosperity and beauty. Now, in the example of the flowers, the lilies of the field, they do not toil and they do not spin to create glamorous clothing for themselves. But even Solomon, the richest man in all of history, it's estimated he was worth about $2 trillion. In all of his glory, he was not even arrayed like one of them. They literally are some of the most beautiful things in the world, but they never stress out about looking good because they don't have to. The beauty that they have is given to them as a gift, and they trust that it will continue to be given to them from the source that has never failed to provide it. And then in the example of the birds, they don't sow or reap or gather into storehouses the food that they need to eat in order to survive. They literally live day to day, getting their daily portion of the food directly from heaven. They never have more than what they need for that day, but they always have enough for each day, never less. How would you feel if someone said to you, I promise you will always have exactly what you need to eat for the day, every single day, but never more and never less, just what you need? How do you feel about the idea of trusting that? Do you think you're worth as much as a bird? Well, how much does an excessive amount of anything actually create genuine peace in your heart? Excessive amounts may create the illusion of security, but since nothing is ever truly guaranteed, it is just an illusion. More and more can still at any moment be lost or stolen or damaged. In an instant, it can disappear. Because identity theft means that your money can be taken and your credit history can be stolen. Your image and your reputation can be destroyed with technology. Can any amount of money truly take away your anxiety? Even Eastern religions teach a philosophy of simplicity and satisfaction with life as the key to fulfillment. Abundance should always be in a spiritual way, in a quality of life, not quantity of material. Relationships are seen as the basis of life. Personal connection with other beautiful and generous souls is the fruitage of spirituality. Emotional prosperity is the reward for hard work. And no one can rob us of things like love and affection and peace and personal connection with amazing people, because satisfaction is the foundation of true spirituality. It teaches something called surrender. How many people would give anything to be able to master the life skill of surrender and genuine trust? Ask yourself something. Are you comfortable with the idea of letting go of everything that you have in a physical way in order to find true personal happiness? And if I told you that letting go of your attachment to material objects and monetary abundance was the only way that you would ever be truly happy, would you be willing to entertain that possibility? Hold on to that thought. Take a moment to ask yourself a question as we go on to the next point, which is this. What is money even really worth? More importantly, what is your time truly worth? We'll be right back with Yours, Mine, and Ours.
BBS Radio.
Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona, and today we're talking about the principles of abundance and asking a question, is more always better? One of my favorite activities for my coaching clients is something that I call the Stranded Island Test. It's about the very basic but extremely profound question, what is time worth? Now, fast food delivery has become much more than pizza, right? Sometimes a delivery for Uber Eats is just across the street from a restaurant, but it can be anything from a salad to a fast food restaurant for a hamburger and fries. Do you know that sometimes it's not even a mile away from the restaurant, but why would someone hire a company like a delivery service to take it across the street? Well, sometimes because the time it takes to get the food and come back is worth than the money it costs to have it delivered, because you're not just getting it to come across the street. You're standing in line, you're taking a break, you're possibly dealing with the traffic, and Lord knows the city you're in, the traffic can be really bad. And so people aren't thinking about the money that they're paying for the food they've purchased from an establishment when they spend $30 to have something delivered. It's about the hour that they're potentially spending away from the office when they have to drive and park and stand in line and drive back. And they think of it in terms of the money that they're losing, or the fact that they simply don't have enough time to get what they want, and they don't have the patience. That's another element now. The mentality of the common population then is, my time is valuable. And that's very true. But what is the potential fallacy of that philosophy? The fact that, again, it focuses on quantity over quality. Maximizing time and optimizing the dollar puts the focus again on more time, more money. More is always better. If you have to choose, it's always best to choose the one that will give you more. But what about your soul? What about the quality of your soul? Are you worth the investment of quality time? Will you become a better quality soul if you invest time in yourself? To be happy and healthy and balanced? Does it even make a difference when you do take good care of yourself? At the potential expense of having more things and bigger things. Now let's think about it in an illustration. One of my favorites, because my mother was a flight attendant, so I heard this on an almost weekly basis since I went to work with her so often I could as a young girl. When you're on an airplane, they're explaining the emergency procedures before you take off because knowing how to use life-saving devices is critical. But what do they say about people who are traveling with small children? Everybody knows this. It's a stock answer. Always put the mask on yourself first. Why? Because if you're not breathing, you're not going to be any good for anyone else, right? That's a simple enough concept. But should you really put the mask on yourself first in life? Should you put someone else's needs to the side while you take care of yourself first? Yes, if you know how to truly take care of yourself while you're making someone else wait for you. That's the bottom line, and that's the key. Do you know how to truly take care of yourself? Physically, mentally, emotionally, how much taking care of yourself involves asking for help? What kind of help? Who should you ask? Do you know how to ask for the kind of help you need in order to take better care of yourself, to deal with the problems that you have, or are you comfortable accepting help when it's offered to you by someone voluntarily without you having to ask them for it? How can you become a higher quality soul? Should you invest your time and energy in yourself? How much? Are you truly worth it? What do you think? Now, there's a generic question often used by experts to help people determine their true nature and their calling in life. Sometimes it's even used in schools. It's designed to remove anxiety and provide the freedom to think and feel everything that may naturally happen inside of you as you're contemplating this question. It is, after all, only when people are free from anxiety that they can be honest with themselves, truly honest with themselves, then they can be honest with others. So it's a very liberating experience. The question is, if you won $1 million in the lottery, what would you do? Well, this question seems like a seemingly safe way to ask yourself, what would truly make me happy? How would I spend my life and my time if I didn't need to worry about surviving in my daily life? If paying the bills and taking care of my physical needs and financial responsibilities wasn't really a concern, then my anxieties and concerns around making ends meet would be gone. What would I do then? What would make me happy? It's a good way to get the mind going. Figuring out what you truly want and need as a person is the first key step to getting it, knowing what that even is. But the problem with this question is that it reinforces the belief that the most powerful motivation of people is their fear, and it implies that their material responsibilities and demands are what they fundamentally care about most in life. Or that it's good to have money to always buy all of the things that you always want. But that's counterproductive and even potentially destructive to you because the things that you desire could actually be things that are not good for you. And always having the freedom to do things without concern for the consequences is actually immature and harmful. So this is not a helpful perspective for someone to have when they're trying to become healthier and happier. It's a question that keeps people thinking on a primal level of more, 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 and it doesn't stimulate them on a deeper spiritual level because it encourages greed. So, posing a life-defining and spiritual question in a greed-based context prevents people from seeing things in a profound way because it propels a superficial perspective that money is a very superficial thing as the foundation of life, it's not mature or healthy. So as long as money still exists in this scenario of winning the lottery, you'll still be vulnerable to the potentially negative and destructive influence of your environment, like the people who would also want your money and be very motivated by their own greed. So for now, let's actually remove all of the external influences, like the money and people that want the money, that affect the decisions you currently make. Let's take it one step further. Let's say someone like a fairy godmother took you completely away from the physical world that you currently live in and brought you to an island, a fantasy island, and you are all alone on it. Imagine it is a beautiful place that has everything you love, including your favorite foods and scenery already there, land and animals waiting for you. You have everything you want around you in a paradise. The best part of this world is that at any time, you can wish for anything and your fairy godmother will literally make it suddenly appear out of nowhere. But the miracles only happened under one condition. They required a currency called happiness juice that was only created by positive energy inside of you. You would need to pay for the things you're asking for with your own high-quality emotional energy. This means it's a symbiotic process between you and your supernatural power, this fairy godmother, and it's perpetually in motion. Now, to create the happiness juice, you would need to do things and create experiences that make you genuinely joyful. The more internal peace and joy you had, the more you'd be able to expand your paradise on this island. Then the greater the paradise, the more peace and happiness you would feel. It could be any kind of environment, with all the people you love having the same peace and happiness that you do. It would contain the elements of daily life that bring you personal pleasure and satisfaction. Different kinds of entertainment and sensory experiences were there to create happiness anywhere you wanted. The fact is, money just didn't exist in this world at all, simply because it serves no purpose of any kind. You could instantly generate things you want and need simply with your positive energy and happiness, so money is not necessary. Creating the best of the best of who you are and what you have in that world means that there would be no limit or end to your personal happiness, and your island is your perfect world to escape back to when you need a break from this world to refill your soul. What would your island be like? Some people have a hard time doing this exercise because they've never contemplated these things and they've never been given the permission or freedom or opportunity to think about these things and imagine feeling this way to their satisfaction. So it may be necessary to just take a break and come back to this later. The more you come back to it, the more you kind of entertain the idea little by little, the more your body and mind will reveal the answers to you. What would really make you happy? Because your defenses will slowly begin to come down and you'll be less and less guarded. If you were able to remove all fear, anger, frustration, and anxiety that currently inhibits your life, you in your life, what would you actually do all day, every day? The fact is, there's a certain amount of hours in a day. Certain things need to get done. But how much of your quality as a soul is based on the quality of your relationships, the people? When we come back, let's look at yours, mine, and ours in terms of increasing the quality of the individuals in your life in order to have the luxury of reducing the quantity that you need in your life in order to feel fulfilled. Finding a life partner is about you both having and being the best of the best for yourselves, then each other. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. We'll be right back with Yours, Mine, and Ours.
BBS Radio.com.
Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona, and today we're going to talk about quality over quantity in relationships. Having less quantity and higher quality is what will create true happiness personally and in your relationships. Today, we're going to be talking with a 54-year-old man. Some people would call that middle-aged. His name is Macario. Macario's background is he was born in Mexico but came to the United States as a teenager. He learned English on his own, got his own jobs, lived with friends and alone as he earned legal status to live here. Basically, he was a loner coming into this country, and we thank you, Macario, for joining us today, answering these very important questions. We appreciate the perspective of someone who was raised with a different culture and mentality, because would you say Mexico is very different from the United States?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Very.
Okay, the history of your relationships is interesting, and I've always found it to be insightful. But I think you're a pretty accurate representation of what most men in general, American or Mexican or any other nationality for that matter, they think and feel. So we'll find out from our listeners at the end of the show if they agree or disagree with your thoughts, because we're going to open up the lines. They might want to ask you questions or ask me questions. So just want to let you know, heads up. Let me start out by asking. Okay, so let me ask you just some general and then some more personal questions. How long have you been married?
Going on 26 years now.
Okay. And would you say you are happily married?
Happily. Well, that word sounds kind of weird to me because I don't connect with it. I mean, I'm happy. Content.
There we go. In Spanish. In Spanish, actually, the word contento means happy. So you'd say you're content in your marriage. Okay?
Yes.
What is it in your marriage that actually does bring you happiness, contentment?
Well, the fact that you can talk to your wife about anything and that they understand who you are and then let you be who you are. I don't think being in a relationship, it's about somebody is higher than somebody else. I think it's just, it's about being friends. It's about trusting each other. I do come from a culture where men are actually considered more than higher than women in that sense, husbands, but I don't believe that per se, because I grew up in this country. I came here as a teenager, so I've been here like 40 some years now.
Okay.
So I have both perspectives, I guess.
Okay. Now, one of the things that you told me is that you've always known that your wife has prioritized taking care of herself. She's actually from this country. Okay, now she takes very good care of herself, getting things like the rest that she needs or the exercise or the relaxation. Now, you're pretty generous in letting her prioritize herself over cooking and cleaning, because that's a pretty big deal where you come from. Why are you willing to let your wife get the exercise and sleep and relaxation, recovery, whatever that she needs, that she tells you she needs it? Why do you do that?
Well, because first of all, you know, she's different. She's from this country. The mentality is different when it comes to homemaking or homemaker.
Yes,
so where I come from, the woman might have a job, might not, but she has to take care of certain things first and foremost. But I've seen some of my friends having to deal with that here, and their relationships are not that great, expecting things from their wives or husbands that are from this country. So I decided to go the other route because I don't want to be fighting and arguing about things like that all the time.
Right.
You know,
well,
and if she needs to rest, and then it's better for me, because that way, when she's done, when she wakes up, then she's a much better person to deal with, to speak to, you know.
Yes. So you would say the return on your investment is good when you let her take care of herself.
Well, investment sounds really weird, but yeah,
Okay, and
basically,
that's another
yeah.
American thing.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so when she does get the exercise or the rest that she needs, is she a better person?
Yes, much better. You can see it in her face. You can hear it when she talks. The way
Okay,
she
and
deals with my family, because my family is not the best to deal with, but when she's doing very well, she can deal with them in a nice manner, let's say.
okay.
So.
So now when you're talking about being nice, that's a very powerful word. It seems very simple, but a woman who's not nice. I've met a lot of men over the years, not only as friends, but as clients. How difficult is a woman to live with when she's not nice?
I don't want to sound, how should I say, crude in the radio when it comes to that, but very difficult because it's like you really want to be happy. You really want to be in a nice environment when your family comes to visit or you go visit, even her own family. When you're a nice person, that moment is gone, the moment of happiness, I don't know, just of being together as a family, hanging out and discussing things, or it goes away because someone is not being nice. Someone's just to the point where you'd rather be somewhere else instead of with her or with him if you're a wife or something like that.
Well, and one of the things that I've kind of liked as a quote is, it's better to sleep on the roof than with a woman looking for a fight. So now one of the things that I personally adhere to is, when you go to sleep, you need to have peace. How important is it to go to sleep in peace? Because I know that you also adhere to that philosophy, going to sleep in peace in marriage. From your personal
Oh,
experience.
well, I've talked to many people when I used to drive taxi, like in for work, and one thing I always noticed is that even in front of me, people would argue and fight, and I'm like, wow. Sometimes they will ask for help, or and I just tell them, look, you cannot go to bed in anger, I mean anger. So just come, just talk to each other, said, you know what? I don't have what it takes right now to do this, to go through this right now, and come to an agreement to go to bed. But at least know that go to bed and rest, because now, but at least now you know that you will talk about it and go through it the next day. See,
Okay.
because some people cannot discuss many things in one night or in an hour. So if you go to bed, rest, knowing that you're going to deal with it the next day, most of the time you have a different perspective of what the argument was about. And most of the time you just don't even argue. You just talk about it and it's done. It's just when you are upset, that's where a lot of things can happen.
Okay, but a lot of men say, you know what, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Do you actually talk about it the next day, or is that just a cop out of, I can't handle you right now, go away, please, we'll talk about it tomorrow. And
No,
that time never actually comes.
what has happened is that I've actually told my wife, look, you know that I got a lot of stuff going on in my head. If I do not say anything to you about it this morning, please remind me. And I will be thankful if you remind me, because I don't want this to continue, for another day or more. I don't want to go to work upset, or I don't want you to go to work upset. So just please remind me. I'm not ignoring it. Nothing, because it's probably I have something else in mind. So
But
if
you
you're
do actually
interested,
talk about it?
yes, yeah.
Okay.
I think, yeah, it has happened many times. I said, well, let's discuss it. And by that time, to be honest with you, my anger is down, and I can discuss things and get it done so quick that you're like, oh, why was I even upset about this before? See, it's just
Okay.
when we get angry is when your reasoning goes out the window.
Okay. So then when you're talking about you being a better quality person, right? Because you're in a less charged state, and she's a good quality person because she takes care of herself. How much, just as a man, does it mean to you that your wife wants to take care of you in a physical way? And that means in an intimate way. Men definitely need certain things more than women. And the fact that your wife is willing to take care of you in that way because you let her take care of herself, how much does it actually mean to you as a man?
Do I have to talk about the intimacy on the radio?
You don't have to get into all the details. But the
Okay.
fact is, if you know that you really do need for her to give you the love that you need, you know that she absolutely will. Is that true?
But yeah, it is true. It's and it's better. Seriously, it's better because I have had, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this on the radio, but I feel weird. I've had other relationships before I was married, and that was not the case. So now that I'm married and that I'm able to talk and with her and let her take care of herself and do things that she needs to do, I've noticed a big difference, very big difference when she wants to take care of me in every way, you know. Even when she's cooking for me, I look at her and she's happy doing it. I'm like, wow, this is like the best thing. And when it comes to like what you were saying, you know, the intimate thing is much better. It's like you're looking forward to it.
There you go. Looking forward to it. And I think the things that you've told me about your wife and how she actually does treat you pretty well, even when she's doing things like cooking and cleaning, she's in a good mood. And so, like we said before, having a woman not be in a bad mood, but even more importantly, being in a good mood is really, really important. And I think that's true for just about every man. If he had the opportunity to be with a woman who's doing all of her wifely duties and she's in a witchy mood as opposed to, you know, doing the good stuff, right? Being in a good mood while she's doing it, most men would definitely opt for the latter over the former. And so how important is it for a man to be genuinely attracted to his wife the way he was when they were dating after, what'd you say? You said 25 years. How important is it for a man to be attracted to her the way that he was when she was his girlfriend? Is that even possible after you have kids and after you've been through the things that you've been through for 25 years?
Well, 26.
26,
but,
okay.
Well, I mean, it's very important, you know, because when you don't take care of yourself, you become unhappy, whether you believe it or not. You don't see it, but other people can see it. So if she takes care of herself, not just physically, of course, you know, because bodies change, especially if she has kids. Her body is going to change, but if she stays healthy and in good form, then it's pretty amazing, you know. It's just, it's so much better. Like I told my daughter a few months ago about her mother, I said, no, it's just being with your mother is better than anything I have done before in my life, even at this age, because she's happy, she takes care of herself, she looks really, really, very attractive, very, very attractive. So,
okay.
You know, it's important. It's important because that way you're not out there looking around.
There you go. Know? Okay. All right. You know what? Instead of getting into the things that I can tell you're starting to get uncomfortable with, we're just going to go ahead and take a real quick break and just ask you kind of about personal, the daily activities and the relationship that you have with your wife. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. Thanks for sticking around with us, Macario, and to our listeners. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. We'll be right back with yours, mine, and ours.
BBS Radio.
I'm Gabrielle Cardona. We're here talking to our guest, Macario, with some questions that were getting a little bit broad and general, but now we're going to go ahead and get into some of the more specifics. Basically, Macario, what you've told us is you let your wife take care of herself, and she takes very good care of you because you don't really have the problems. You don't fight with her over things that maybe other couples do, and you are attracted to her still after 26 years of being married, and you're able to talk about things that other couples might not talk about. But now we're going to go ahead and ask you some more detail about life, just kind of questions. Now, I understand the kind of work that your wife does. She's interacting with men probably more often than women, but she also has male friends, just pals, you know, friends that she has as her daily life. Why do you trust, you're a Mexican, why do you trust her having male friends? That's not acceptable in your culture, is it?
Well, no, not really. Our society doesn't see those things, you know, in a nice way. You have your position as a husband, you have your position as a wife. So a woman cannot and should not be around men without her husband or without another woman, where I come from in that
okay,
area.
So then why do you trust her working around men without you there?
Well, even though I was raised that way, I came here young to this country, and I noticed that's different here. So, I've been dealing with this all my life, but to get to the point, I realized that you have to trust the person you're with. You know, you have to trust that they're not looking around out there and that they're not trying to do something behind your back. Because if you do not trust, then you're going to be worried. You're going to be following her. You'll become a stalker. Or you'll be doing all kinds of different things just to make sure that that doesn't happen. And working in restaurants for so many years, I have noticed things that people do. If somebody wants to cheat on you, believe me, going to the bathroom on the way, they can find somebody to do something in the bathroom for 5 minutes. You
yeah.
know? It has
yeah.
happened. I have seen it happen. So that's when I realized, look, why should I be breaking my head, getting stressed out for something that I have no power over in the first place? Because it's not my choice of what she does. So I just come to the realization, look, all I have to do or all I can do is love her, be loving to her, be nice to her. And if it's not enough, then I have done my job. I have done what I can do. So whatever happens after that is her decision to do so. And there's nothing I can do at all.
Okay,
so,
but
you know.
But the fact is, you don't actually think your wife is looking around, do you?
Oh, no, not really. I mean, she's not that kind of person. I know people. I've been around people for many, many years, different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell when something like that is happening. I'm not saying that I know everything, but there are signs. There's always signs. And no, I don't see that in my wife. Come from a society that it is okay for a married man to have a couple of things out there. So
right.
being
right.
raised in that society, I have learned a lot about people. And about women can do too, so not just men. So no,
But
you know, I
what do you invest in your marriage that makes you pretty confident that she doesn't want to be with another man? Is there anything that you can do as a husband to make your wife really want to be with you? Like what, how much time do you spend with her?
We spend a lot of time together. You know, sometimes she helps me with work, so we can spend hours together and have fun. I tell her that she's still the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in my life, which is true. I don't, you know, I don't lie to her when it comes to that. I tell her that I love her smile. I tell her that I love her. That's it. It's
And how
natural for
important.
me. So, if you don't do that, it's like when you have a flower or a really nice a rose bush or garden. Roses are beautiful flowers, but if you don't water them every day or every 2 days, you know, then they'll die, you know,
Okay.
and then they'll
Now,
start looking for water somewhere else.
there you go. That's true. That's exactly right. Now, but when you're talking about that water, that's not just having a physical relationship. That's an actual, like a sexual affair. That's about having a personal connection. So when you're spending time with her, how important is laughter with her to
Well, it's
you?
very important because you don't want to be just sitting there like a stick in the mud,
Like
you
sometimes
know.
I do in a restaurant, I'll see a couple, they actually have their cellular phones on. And they're
Yeah,
both
and that
looking at their
kills
cell
me, you know.
phones.
Seeing that in restaurants, to be honest with you, I remember back in the 80s and 90s, and when I did work in restaurants, and I would see families talking and discussing things, laughing, or sometimes arguing, you know, being human. And now you go to a restaurant and you have five family members. The menu is on the newspaper, everybody else got their cell phones, and they wait for the food, they eat, they put their phones down, they eat, and then when the ones are done, they're still using their phones, and then they go. So no, that's, I do not like to do that. I've said it enough times. If we're sitting here drinking coffee or eating, the phones stay in the purse or in your pocket. That's it. You know, unless it's an emergency, then yeah, that's an emergency. But other than that, no, nothing.
And your wife agrees to that?
Yes, she does.
Well, that's really nice. Okay, well, what we're going to do is just take another real quick break. We're going to let our listeners call in over the next few minutes, the last few minutes of our show. If you can hold on to the line with us, Macario, I would like to let my listeners know the number. If they want to call in, the toll-free number is 888 888 888 627-6008. If you have any thoughts or any questions so far of what we've been talking about today about more not always being better, go ahead and give us a call. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is yours, mine, and ours.
BBS Radio.
Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, and today we've been talking to a guest, Macario, about his marriage and the basic philosophy of having good quality time with someone that you care about being the key to having a fulfilling relationship. And earlier today, we were talking about how sometimes when you need to take care of yourself to become a higher quality soul, you don't necessarily need as many things in your life. Now, how important are relationships to you? We're going to go ahead and just take a few minutes to see if anyone has called in or has any questions. But basically, what it comes down to is when you have a high quality, you don't need a large quantity in life. And when you have relationships that are satisfying to you, you know how to be generous and giving to others. And that really is the key in life to personal fulfillment. When you're a high quality soul, moderation is satisfying. Less is actually more. Thank you for listening to our show today. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is yours, mine, and ours.